Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 446. It's the weekend podcast. I'm joined by two fellas. One is Stock Market Steve, and one is Punter Pete. Hello, lads. You all right?
Yeah, hello.
All good.
All good, eh? So I've been away for most of the week. I've been in a yurt in Devon on a farm. Steve, you've been in a yurt as well, haven't you?
I was in a yurt last weekend, yes, with hot tubs and compost toilets.
Excellent. Well, it's not far away from your house, really, is that style of living? But listen, Steve posted a picture, a really odd picture of him and another boy and another girl in a hot tub that was a really small hot tub. It looked very uncomfortably small. Steve, what were you doing? Who were those people you were with? And why were you sharing a hot tub? Yeah?
That was the bride and groom of the stag and hen party I was on with.
Why were you sharing a hot tub? It looked to me that they didn't want you in there. It's just like, they thought we'd jump in, and Steve thought, oh, I'd jump in there, it's nice. And they got in there, had a picture, and he looked distinctly uncomfortable, you know? I don't mean just physically.
They really didn't want me in there.
No, exactly. I didn't mean physically uncomfortable, but just literally, you know, socially uncomfortable. Like, what is he doing in here? We are bride and groom. Why has this guy got in with us? No. It looked like a two-man hot tub, but Steve had fitly squeezed in there as a three-man.
Well, that's what I do.
A two-man, one lady. Did you like the yurt experience, Steve?
Yeah, it was all right. It was fun.
Do you know
Let
what?
Me guess, you didn't. Justin.
Oh, I tell you, don't get me started.
I could have predicted that.
Do you know what? What's the point of it all? What, camping and yurting and glamping? There's nothing glamorous about that. It's glamping, that is. Nothing glamorous about that whatsoever, right? I mean, it was tipping down with rain most of the time. And I think the idea for me of a holiday, right, is to upgrade your lifestyle, you know, for a week. Have a bit of luxury for a week, you know? Not downgrade. What's the point of that? I can spend a week homeless if I want to. There's no point downgrading for a week. You know, if it's all get close to nature. No, I don't. Listen, that's why we've evolved. Animals are close to nature because they haven't evolved. They're so thick they can't build their own premises with central heating. Do you know, there's nothing more a bear would like than to sit on the sofa watching EastEnders eating popcorn. He would love that, but he can't because, you know, the animals, they're thick and that's why they're close to nature. And we're thick for even trying to be like that. There's no point. Give me a five-star hotel in Dubai any day. That's an upgrade. I don't want to downgrade and live like an animal for a week. What's the point of that? It really was horrible. And I will never, ever, anything that needs Wellington boots, right, I'll never, ever do it again. If they say, come on a holiday, bring your wellies, no, I'm stopping right there. If there's any wellies involved.
Is this your TripAdvisor review?
Yeah. No, it was a lovely place. The people were lovely there. They owned it. But it's just not for me, you know. I just think the whole thing, holiday should be an upgrade, not a downgrade. There's no point of that. If you're going to take a break from, I know, because it'll make you appreciate your house. I appreciate my house. I don't need to go somewhere to appreciate it more, you know. And in fact, I was there at, what was it, like 2 a.m, something like that, going through squelch and mud in my wellies, freezing cold, stealing logs from the log cabin to put on my fire burn in my yurt, 'cause it was so freezing. And I was there, and we had our daily sort of, you know, a quota of logs. And so, but we'd gone through them all because we were freezing. And I was there in the middle of the night walking past the chickens and the ducks and everything and all the thick animals that can't build their own centrally heated houses to steal some logs to keep my family from perishing in the middle of the night. There was this crack in the air.
When you say you're stealing logs from a log cabin, that's a cabin built out of logs. You shouldn't be stealing those logs.
Yeah, I took
that's
the roof.
Somebody's house.
I took the roof off, and the couple in there were right. freezing. No, it's just ridiculous. I do not see the point of it. Never ever again. Pardon me, thinks I entertain this. The kids will love it. First day there, I've never been so depressed in all my life, honestly.
Did the kids like it, though?
They loved it. They're imbeciles. That's what kids are like animals, aren't they? They're not evolved enough to understand this is harsh. This is horrible. This is living like an animal. You know, I don't want it. We're not animals.
I bet you hit your emotion well, though, and really got stuck in and enjoyed it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I did, yeah. To be honest, day two, day three, I sort of acclimatized, you know, to literally...
Got drunk.
Yeah, I had a few drinks. I know I had to put up with it. But it was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. It's like to walk to a toilet and you put your wellies on, walk to a toilet and then do your stuff and then compost on it and come, put your wellies back on, come back, get your wellies off. And in my house, I can, bare feet. I go to the toilet, 2 yards. It's warm. I sit down, do my business, back there watching TV or go on the computer or something. Oh, never again. Anyway.
That was the one thing I didn't like is needing a wee in the middle of the night and having to get up and put your wellies on and walk across a field. And I was like, ugh.
I didn't bother in the end. I just stood outside the door. I did my business there. Number one, number two, I don't care. I thought, if they want me to live like an animal, I'm going to behave like an animal. An animal wouldn't go to the... That's it. It's a halfway house. They wouldn't expect an animal to go to the toilet. If you want us to live close to nature, I am very close to nature. I'm pooing over the ledge there. Next to the tent. Mind your feet in the morning. Put your wellies on.
You can love that.
It's dreadful. Never again. Ever again. Anyway, let's go back to a civilized chat about the markets. Because that's what I missed. I thought, what am I doing here? I just thought, it was hammering down with rain. 1 a.m. I thought, what am I doing in this ridiculous situation? It's not good for anyone. Anyway, the kids enjoyed it.
Your portfolio probably benefited, though, without you meddling with it.
Yeah. Oh, number one. So, do you see Ascent Resources?
I was going to say.
I couldn't believe that. It just kept. I looked at it, double digit percentage growth on, I think, the first, when the last Thursday, when it was announced there was an approach from a company, a possible takeover. And I thought, this can't keep happening. And then it went up again by the double digits again. High double digits, sort of 60, 70%. And they did it for the third day in a trot. So I bought a 0.9 pence, and it topped out like 8 pence. That's nuts, isn't it? It's almost an 8 bagger in, 3 trading sessions, which is phenomenal.
A classic AIM stock of just sheer hype and dream and rumour and all the rest of it, isn't it? There's no substance to that crazy rise. So you're well off sort of taking some profit at the top there and getting out of it all.
I remember Thursday... after the market had closed, saying, and I jump into this now on Monday. I thought, really? It had risen by about 70% or something, or something ridiculous on a Thursday. But fair play, people did jump in then. There was still quite a bit of upside, but you have to get. But then people said, this is worth like 10, 15 pence, people are saying. I said, I've no idea. The reason I got in there is because Colin was on the podcast twice. I understand the asset they have was big. It was, 4, 5, 6 BCF of gas, which is enough to supply Slovenia, which is where the gas is at for 10 years. Entire country. I thought, this is a market cap of 1.2 million it was. I thought, that's nuts. That's absolutely crazy. So I just bought in a little bit there and it doubled and I took my initial stake out. It doubled again. So I took another same amount stake-wise, took that out again and I sold. It went up to like 8 pence. But I sold on Thursday looking for sell at best because then the it risen so much. The acquirer, the company was, looking to buy this company, said, no, the valuation is too high now. I don't want to buy it. So it just slumped, and it slumped by 70% on Thursday. But I got 2.25 pence, I think, for it, which I bought at 0.9 anyway. So the rest of the stock I had already got my stake out plus a profit, and I got the rest of 2.25, which is, what is that?
Did they release an RNS... saying there was sort of advanced talks of this takeover? How did that takeover news come out?
Yeah, it was. They're in talks, apparently. They had talks with the company. But it's back where it was sort of now. So, there's no saying, because the reason for the... Cadogan pulling out was the valuation had gone through the roof. But now it's back to where it's sort of at 3 million. So it's good value again now. So you would think now maybe there could be still in talks, you know, because that's the only reason why they sort of pulled out in the first place, was because of the stratospheric rise. So, and of course, I was only waiting for this IPPC permit, because at the moment they have to have this permit to sell gas into Slovenia. They have two other ways of doing it, but this is their chosen route. And I was waiting for that, and they said there should be, with, you know, end of quarter one, maybe end of quarter two latest. So I was waiting for that, for a nice bit of upside. But in the meantime, this came along. So, yeah, but nice. But, you know, avoid the spike, everyone. You know, it's nuts. Because it's if you bought in thinking this is going to continue rising on day three of this stratospheric rise, you'd have lost. You know, you've been down almost 70% on a day, which is in one day is a big loss, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, yeah. Which I've got sort of questions around this kind of thing, really, because one thing I've noticed is, and I think I mentioned the other week, is having a watch list is one thing, but then kind of reacting to when news comes out. And what's your advice on that? And how do you actually... Because it's so so easy to jump on a spike, isn't it? So there's a big bit of news, you don't want to miss it, fear of missing out. So you kind of, you're tempted to dive in there, but that's probably not the best strategy. But at the same time, some of these stocks go so quickly, you have just missed it. And it's kind of like, what's the point of having a watch list if then when I get the news, I'm not reacting to it?
I got lots of them, Pete.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? I've just stopped reacting to news at that. I want... Listen, my portfolio is such that I want to have like three big stocks, you know, dividend-paying stocks. I hold quite lumpy chunks in them. And I want to hold those for years and years. I mean, so, you know, the Royal Dutch Shells. I mean, Standard Chartered is a bit of a punt. But if that's at the bottom where we are now, you know, I can look forward to several years of slowly, you know, growing, hopefully, you know, capital upside with dividend payments. And then down the end there, you've got to have a mess around with these penny stocks. But I also want to invest in companies at the penny stock level that still have potential to be a long-term, you know, mid to long-term sort of investment. I don't want to be jumping in and out day on a week-to-week basis. If the opportunity presents itself like that there, ascent, we're nuts. So you've got to take profit and get out because, you know...
If that news hadn't come out about the potential takeover, nothing really would have happened to that share price in the last week or two, would it? It would have just stayed at a sort of, you know...
Yeah, right about that, but it's...
It would have been kind of going along at the level, yeah. It's just when a little bit of news like that and it has a crazy spike and then you're in a kind of situation of, like you have, taking some profit, which I think is the right decision because it's just sort of, you know, make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, but you know what? I thought then that I probably shouldn't have sold all out. I should just lessen a little bit in there, just keep a little bit of skin in the game, because even though it's fallen by a lot, you know, there's still potential upside there now. And that's something I looked at that genuinely as they had a good resource and they're going to start supplying into the market there. So I saw that as a good business, you know, and undervalued. So I think what you have to do with any company, small cap, is look pretty much, you know, at the market cap. Look at the size of it. Mm. Look at the size of the, you know, the resource it has. And then try just do, you know, a bit of mass, you know, like with anything, look at the market cap. I think, wow, that's got a huge potential. Like Keffi Minerals, for example, that dropped to below the placing price then last week. And I loved it. It just dropped down, filled my order at 3.33.
Yes.
And the last placement was 0.35. And then on the day, went back up. And so I was in profit on the day. But I'm thinking they've got a net present value now of their assets being at 155 million, even when they're a market cap of only, I think, is what, 10 million, 12 million, something like that. So, and they've got a resource there. If you look at it, sort of 1.7 million ounces of gold. What do you do is, even if you round it down, let's say a million, you know, because it's proven reserves, probable reserves, and all this stuff. So even if you round it down and look at, say, a million and do it in your head and get a calculator, say, a million times that, so gold is about 12, you know, $1,250, say. In fact, let's round that down as well. But always be conservative. Say 1,200 times a million, what's that? And then you'll see, you know, it's a massive amount of money. So it's something like a billion, it's a ridiculous amount. So we think, well, hang on, look at the upside here and just read through the presentation and look at the market cap. I think this is, you know, you may have to hold for a while because they're not in production for a couple of years, I think, and there's funding due and all that. But at this level, you think you've also, you know, managed to get it below the last placing price. It's a good little buy to hold on to. And I see that as a good, you know, medium to long-term investment. And if it goes crazy, you know, and doubles, you know, on some rumour or something, then you may take, you know, take, just sell your stake. And if you double sell your stake, keep, so if you've got £1,000 in there, for example, and it goes 100%, sell £1,000, you've still got £1,000 in there. And just leave it. Yes. Leave it there. I should have done that with Ascent, really. You know, because I'm at the level now, Ascent, where people are jumping in on Thursday thinking, oh, it's back to this level now, jump in. I think, well, have you done any research on the company at all? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to hopefully try and get it, you know, below, if you can get it below, you know, run about, anywhere below 1.5 pence, I think that's a good deal. Because the trouble is now, what's the good thing is, there's more people onto that stock now. It's the share price went up and it's on a lot of people's radar. There may be a lot of buyers there. People are buying at 1.9, you know. But I think, well, hang on, let it calm down a bit. Why do people jump in so quickly? It's nuts, isn't it, really, you know?
Yeah. And then it depends on how many people jump in as to how high that spike goes, doesn't it? It's sort of like, it kind of snowballs so often. But then that's not a guarantee. You can't just guarantee that it'll always snowball to a massive, like that was a crazy couple of days, wasn't it? Or 3 or 4 days or whatever. But other stocks don't, they spike, but then come crashing down much quicker and don't reach the sort of heights of that one. And
so what is the ticker, Matt, of interest, so I can bring up the stats and information and relate to what you're talking about here?
Oh, give me a Stevie stats. Have I got? The trouble is, Steve, you're a bit of a trader, aren't you? You know, you know, traders involved in this game. So it's AST, Ascent Resources. What did they finish up by? Something, you know, were they 1.7 or something like that today? Calm down, everyone. You've got plenty of time to get back in there, thing, you know, because now.
On a similar thing, Metal Tiger is one that I've had on the watch list ever since, you know, probably 4 or 5 months ago when you first started talking to Paul Johnson on the podcast. I've always liked him. He talks a lot of sense. I've liked the story.
Why didn't you get in then? Why didn't you get in?
But this is what I'm saying. I've got this watch list. I'm looking at that. And then, the price, the share, nothing was really happening. There was not much news. The share price was sort of bumming along. And then, you know, it took my eye off the ball or whatever. And then suddenly it's, I've kind of missed that one.
Do you know, exactly the same for me. I had that. I was watching it for ages after the podcast ages ago, and I just forgot about it.
Yeah, and then I know you're going to say, you know, price notifications or whatever, but even then, by then, it can be too late because it's kind of whoosh, off it goes, and you don't want to jump on that because it is spiking. So my next question is, into the company, I liked him podcast this week, and I still think, there's potential. That's the sort of company I'd like to invest in, but how do I get into it now? It's gone up like 4.5p or whatever, and we were talking about 1.1.
I don't know. Yeah, we have no. I kept saying, didn't I? A while back, there was a trading range there, and if you look back, you probably miss it now. But there's a trading range for a long time, right? When Paul kept coming on the podcast, between 0.8 and 1.2, and it kept going to 1.2, failing, coming back, and then and almost coming back to 1.8. You know, and then going back to 1.2. Yeah. And I thought, listen, you know, you could have plenty of opportunity to get in at. God, look at the share price now. It's nuts, the chart on that. But, I mean, there was plenty of opportunity, and I kept saying to Paul, at the time, it was a market cap of 3 million or just under. And I said, and I kept saying to him, do you know what? You've got a lot of things on the boil here for a market cap of 3 million, you know? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The thing is now, if you take the spike out, move the chart along, and get rid of that spike, and you'll see, there we are, I can see. In fact, I did a tweet of it saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times it's failed at the 1.2 level. It spiked up to that and come back below, back to 0.8. And I knew it was only a matter of time. Paul kept saying, and Paul's a very, you know, very shrewd investor. He's made a lot of money himself by investing. He knows what he's about, you know. And so, and he's a very honest guy. I completely believe in him, and I believe that he believes, as is the company, in shareholder value, you know, and he wants to create value for shareholders. And so I just thought I'd bide my time. And I had a bigger, I got to admit, I had a bigger hole in this originally because I like Paul so much. I bought a huge chunk. Then we had a big downturn and all over the new year, and I sold out a bit.
Yep.
And so I don't know, a couple of stocks now that I wish I'd hold on, Asia Met and Metal Tiger.
Yeah.
But doubt in the market. But there we are. You know, I'm up about, I think, about 300-400% on those now. Oh, 300%?
Yeah. Like, if you look at their chart, like it was, still about 1.2, 1.3. On the 8th of March, and then, you know, since then it just took off. I'm saying, like, so I'm watching it going, oh, this is good, and then it takes off, and then you're like, ah, have I missed it? You know, that's the hardest bit, isn't it? It's like when you're investing, but actually trying to get on that, because sod's law, I didn't get in at 1.3 and it would just go back to 1.1 or 0.8 or something. But like, oh, okay,
yeah,
false alarm. Well, I, you know, that's the saddest part, isn't it? I don't know what to do and how.
No, I would leave it now. Leave it completely. Yes. And then literally, you know, keep up to date looking at it. I mean, do a bit of research on the company, but put a share, put a price limit on it, you know, price alert on it. Mm. And say, where do you think it'll come back to? And, you know, because, I mean, it has gapped up. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trading days up, pretty much. That's a lot. Do you know what? It's very rarely when you see a company do 8 days up. 7, very rare, but 8, I've never seen it, pretty much. There's always a bit of a pullback. But then, do you want to get at that level? I wouldn't. You know, I'd wait. Guys, listen, you've missed it. Move on, yeah?
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But only for the time being, I think. You know, that's what I'm saying. For now, don't obsess over the price. There will be probably time to get in later. But, I mean, right now, not. Probably, you know, you've got to wait and put a price limit on and think, oh, hang on. But the psychology is such that, like you said, it broke that last... It's a brilliant little chart observation, right? If I scroll along to take the recent spikes out... So it broke at, you know, 1.5 level, right? So there was spikes up to 1.4, 1.5 before, but it never finished the day above that. And then all of a sudden, it did spike that. It broke above that one big day, you know? And then it came back a bit. Came back, it had a little funny day where it had a huge candle, a doji pretty much. You know, that's mean, the wick see the side of the candle was quite large. It came back to what? Around about 2.1... And then you could have taken your entry there, because then, hang on a sec, you know, that was a good level there, because it's broken out of its trading range, and now it's consolidating, and then it went for the next leg up again, you know? So it's almost like, wait for the breakout, wait for a pullback to finish, because they're always, I mean, unless it's, you know, a story like, you know, a rumour that's going around, there's always pretty much a pullback. There'll be a pullback now, you know, but I mean, we're still now at high levels compared to where we were, aren't we? So, It's difficult, you know. Avoid the spike. Wait for the pullover.
But like now, looking at that chart now, you'd say around...
Leave it, Peter. Move on.
Exactly. Sorry. Walk away from the Metal Tiger chart.
For now. Yes. Yeah? Just leave it.
For now. Okay.
Stephen, I'm looking forward to your question this week. As always, you know,
I don't feel we need to bring a question every week to the table.
Oh, yeah, it is hard work, isn't it? Why do you feel that? Do you know why Steve feels that?
You never bring a question.
Yeah, Steve, you've had no question for three. Oh, I bet you had last question last week, but pretty much you didn't have a question any week apart from last week.
I don't feel a question is needed every single week, because I just feel, you know, sometimes there's just some queries to kind of...
Oh, I know, I've seen you in the hot tub.
See, I've fallen into this kind of thing at the moment. I'm not really invested anyhow. Obviously, you know, I've been selling out a few of my shares, so I've got a bit of cash at the moment. I find it quite hard to kind of investigate at the moment, because I've just got a few of those shares that are quite far down at the moment. I'm just a bit nervous.
Which ones are you nervous on, Steve, being a trader? Say.
Well, funny enough, actually, I'm not nervous on it, but the New World Oil, because that's probably, apart from Royal Dutch Shell, that's probably my second biggest holding I've got on something. But today, actually, I did put a buy limit. I always get mixed up. Buy order or buy order? Because they're quite low at the moment, so I've got quite a bit down on that at the moment. But I thought I'm going to buy some more when they're quite low. But I haven't bought it yet. I've just put a low amount in. But that's all I've done recently.
At the moment, then, you know, I put an order in for these and I cancelled it. I put an order in at 0.05. Because this was when I was in the yurt, and I was on my mobile, that said, with dodgy signal, you know? So it's, it's another thing. And I was trying to look at their update, their half-yearly report or something, and I couldn't see it. I know cash gone down a little bit, that's expected, but nothing really moved on of any material value. That's a good time to sort of look at it. And I thought, well, I'll wait for this. I think there's going to be I saw the news. It wasn't that impressive, and I thought they may spike down this and catch my order, and I don't want that. I want to see a measured buy, you know, I want to know what I'm doing. So I took it off, but I'm thinking now would probably be a good... When you're like this, Steve, when you're nervous like this, right, and you've got a big holding in, liquidise as much of everything you've got in the house, everything, and just buy it all. Chuck it all in there. chuck it all in the stock you're nervous about. Really good. Counterintuitive. So, you know, if your knees are shaking, you're really nervous, just sell everything. And then you'll feel nerves. You'll be like biting your nails to the core. They're quick. And they go, whoa, I don't know why. That's a hell of a buzz, Steve, though. When you're nervous for stock, just to remortgage your house. I've got the stock I'm nervous on. I really am going to go big on it. I don't know why. I'm nuts.
Well, I put an order in for 0.6183.
Right. an order or a price alert?
No, a buy order.
Right.
I don't know what the 0.3 or 0.8 was. I can't remember now. Why
I don't know what the point is, no.
So what are you putting in for?
Sorry, no, 0.08. Is it? No, point.
Come on, make me a mind.
I think it was 0.0.
0.06. House, bingo! 0.1. It reached it, did it?
No, it nearly did. Like the end, cause I think it closed at 0.065.
It's a good job you placed these orders by the internet, not by the phone stockbroker. Can I 0.1? How many do you want to buy? One share.
That's all right. It's 0.0, isn't it? Yeah, it's
point
not. It's 0.6.
Hang on. It's me. We got there. Oh, chuck me down for 10 notes. So listen,
I buy for naught?
Yeah, put another note on there. The offer is 0.065. Yeah, naught.
So I put one in for 0.0618.
Naught. I love the naught. Naught. Point naught.
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 Yeah. So you put one in for .0618. Why did you put it in for that?
I can't. You can four decimal places. I think like
on Barclays, I can't. Yeah, on Barclays, I can't do that many decimal places.
I can
either do .06 or .05. That's all I can do. So I put it for .05.
That's what traders do. See, this is our.
That's the difference. Yeah. And then what are you going to sell at? 0.0619?
Not. Yes. Right. I'm a trader, see? Can I put an order in? Excuse me, Mr. Broker. An order for That's wrong. Not. Oh, it's gone up now. Ignore that. Right, start again. Okay, not. He put it on speakerphone. Listen to this, guys. Not point. Not. Oh, where's the point? Not. Oh, don't bother. Cancel it. Listen. It's down 7.7% today. I'm seeing this as a good level to buy at. They've got a market cap, right, of 2.8 million. All right, so they're final results. Let's go in the final results. Let's look at this. Let's learn together, guys, right? So go on now. Voxmarkets.co.uk. All right, go in there.
Okay.
All right, are you on there yet? This will be interesting. Yeah. You'll be the judge of this, but this will be exciting. So click on there. Then, right at the top, it says search people and companies, right? So type new. And you've got new world oil and gas comes up for me straight away. So I click on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the internet.
Hang on, I might say an incorrect password.
We're on the... Oh, not. Not. 20 to get. Yeah, look how many shares traded there. It's a phenomenal amount. 50 million shares traded there, 50.5 million. So anyway, you click on that, and it will take you to the page for new oil and gas there, and you see timeline, discussion, details, news below the charts. The news, click the...
Yes.
News.
News.
Right. And then just click on that then, open that up, and you see that. And now what I'm going to do now, right now, is...
I've only just logged in.
Oh, it's a good job you're a fast-time trader, Steve. Look at him. Straight to it.
Right, I found new oil. Can you just quickly start from the beginning again? Yeah. New oil, yeah.
New world oil and gas, yes?
Steve, that's the microwave. That's not the computer.
New World Online Guide. You found that, Steve?
Yeah, yeah, got that.
Click on it. You're on the page there. And below the chart, you'll see news. Yes?
I'm on news, yeah.
Right, you'll see final results. Yes?
Yes. Yep.
And it starts saying there, New World and Gas, final results, blah, 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 blah. Chairman's statement, we are now at 0.01. No, he says, sustained volatility in the global oil and gas, blah, 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 blah. Ignore that. If you're on a Mac, Command F. So it brings up the search. It's a Control F on PCs, I think. Just type in cash. Yeah?
Mm.
And you will give the I got 4 of 52 results. Have you got that?
Yep.
Yep.
Scroll through. It mentions cash balance, doesn't mention it. Scroll past that. Cash position of the company, next one. So, cash and equivalents. All right? This is in the group statement of financial positions. Cash and equivalents. Remember, this is at the 31st of December 2015, okay? So then, cash and equivalents of how much?
3.618.
Yeah. So that's in millions. So it's 3.6 million, all right? Let's scroll down again. Keep it in the search on the cash and go down again. Cash flows, go down again. And, there we are. So you see, go to the cash flow operating from operating activities, yeah? And you've got lots of cash flows there. Operating loss, 4.2 million, depreciation, all that. Cash outflow. So at the bottom there, you see you've got net cash inflow from financing activities. Then below that, net increase in cash and equivalents, 2.498 million. How have they increased their cash position? Because they have no revenue. Steve, Pete, tell me, pray sirs, how do they do it, Steve? Is it magic? Did they magic that out of thin air? How did it happen?
Where are you seeing that? Sorry, I've got
net, lost as well.
So
net cash outflow.
Yeah, so net cash, so your net cash inflow is at 4.3, and so net increase in cash and equivalents. See that net?
Net
increase cash and equivalents. Is that, Steve? Net increase. Yeah, now, that's 2.498 million. How did they get that cash? Where did it come from? They haven't got any revenue. What happened there?
Was it a placing?
Well, was it? Stephen, what do you think?
They sold something.
Well, exactly. Yeah. They must have sold something, didn't they? But they haven't sold any assets. I know that. So if you go back up a little bit, right, and it says cash flows from financing activities, proceeds on issuing of ordinary shares. That's during the year. So they raised 5.4 million from selling shares, replacing, right? Cost to issue these shares. So they've got 1.12, you see? So Maria, take that off, and anything else off you've got there. And you'll come to that amount pretty much, cash and equivalents at the beginning of the year. And then you have cash at the end of the year. So you can see. So you see net increase or decrease, sorry. So net inflow from investment activities, 4.3. So that's basically the 5.4 million they raised to take away how much it cost to raise that money through brokers and stuff. And you got that 4.3 then. So a net increase in cash. So that's where they got it from. But at the end of the year, they got 3.64. But if you look at that. If you look at the top, it's been a change in management now. You can never gauge, really, how much they're burning, you know. But last year, they lost 4.23 million. So that's in a year. So if you half that 2.2 and say, I'm assuming it's going to be a bit less now because they're not paying off a board of directors and stuff like that, you know. But so you could say that. But
isn't the whole thing with this company that they're looking at taking the company in different directions from what they have been doing? Yeah. So. It's virtually impossible, isn't it, to know what their cash burn is going to be? Depends on what they're going to be doing.
Yes, you can only get an informed guess, Peter. What I'm saying is, right now the market cap is 2.85 million. You know, you got Adam Renders on board. You got cash there. Let's say they got cash of 2 million. Say, you know, so all they're valuing that PLC at pretty much plus the new board. You know, Adam Reynolds and who else is it? Sim Lee, Find Lee. Nicholas Lee and Adam Reynolds, they're not valuing them at all, hardly, you know? Because you've got 2 million in cash, you pretty much, you know, this flotation valuation of PLC, that's worth about half to a million, say.
Yeah.
And so they've valued nothing, pretty much, their expertise in the market. So this, to me, is quite a good value at 2.85, you know? So, Steve, I think your 0.0613957 is a good little order there, you know? So liquidise everything. And just put more in there, Steve. More. Really, you know, see what kind of kahunas you got. Yeah. Come on. You got no kahunas. I'd love to be a broker on the phone to a new trader saying that. Buddy, how long have you been trading? Oh, about 4 months. You got any kahunas? Only guys with big kahunas make money in this game. Liquidize your house. Put some money on this game, yeah?
Well, I think we both discovered we don't really need houses this week, Justin. We can just go live in a yurt and weed a bush.
If that's, that's one way to incentivize me not to remortgage the house. It's a threat of living in a yurt for the rest of my life. So, go on.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because this is the sort of time when you look at a company like this and we sort of know a bit of the history and we've been following it. And this is the time, as you were saying, and as Steve has rightly done, looking at price notification, doing it now and looking to invest because you're believing in what they're doing. Because then when things happen and news comes out and the spike and all the rest of it, you're not going, oh, I missed that. And we were talking about that 3 months ago, but I didn't do anything.
That's exactly why. Do you know what? That's exactly why I did it today. Because after the news of Metal Tiger, and I was just thinking, oh, I just missed out. And I was watching them, and I thought, right, I'm going to get in on this because I know it's going to go up at some point.
Look at, I mean, I don't know on your chart, but on the chart I'm looking at right now, it's got a previous day close line on it, and that is at 0.06. And you can pretty much draw a ruler under that as a support. Yes. You know, and that's because that's supported by cash there. You know, and the assets it's got. And I think right now, you can try and sneak a little, you know, limit order in at 0.05 if you want, or take the price now at 0.06, but don't put everything in, you know.
No.
Buy a position, take a position now, and put a position in maybe at another, you know, level below as well. But like I said, the reason why that book works, people have argued on that, you know, sort of was that scaling down or you know, averaging down, that kind of book that was on the guy I had on, is that, you know, let's say you want to put, you know, a grand in new world now. Don't put a grand in now, because you know where the price is going to go. So if you don't want to let the price go up and get away from you, okay, buy 500 quid now, right, and then put a limit order in at 0.05, and then, you know, you get a better average price. You know,
because
it's gonna. So basically, if you've got a portfolio, let's say you've got a portfolio of 10 grand, you know, you shouldn't be putting more than 10% in any one stock. Essentially, no way. How much is that, Steve? As you know, as a guide.
Cha-ching, 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't have any exposure, by more than £1,000. So literally, you know, your maximum risk on any one stock is 10%. That's quite a lot, you know. So the maximum you're going to pay for any one stock is £1,000, right? Don't put anything more than that in it. But don't put it all in one chunk, you know? So you could even break that down into, you know, 333 quids if you want, you know? So you put, like, or even 500 quid now, 250 a bit, if it goes lower, 250 a bit lower, because that way you get more shares anywhere it goes lower. So just what I'm saying is, you know, manage your risk, you know?
You got big cojones! Put the lot on! How much you got in your portfolio? Sell everything! Buy, if you're nervous in the stock, buy everything in that stock.
Do you know when you say about, like, buying in little chunks like that and just put a bit in now, put a bit more in if it goes down? I'm always thinking that's going to cost me another £11.95.
Yeah, it does. Yes. You're right, Steve. You're right. But the thing is, it could cost you a lot more if you put all your money in now and it drops by 20%. And you think, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, with you, Steve, being a trader, doing lots of trades left, right and centre, you get a good deal. I get charged now, I think, about £5 a trade with Barclays, because I'm a regular trader.
Steve probably gets it for free.
Yeah. We've got the big trader guy on the line. Can you buy it at 0.00? Guys, there's a big trader on the line. Steve! 0.00! Yeah, that's the way to do it, Steve. You know, you're right there. It does cost you. But that's why, you know, maybe... Well, it's up to you, isn't it? You know, it's up to you. I'm saying, you know, I think it's a good price at the moment, Steve. You know, I don't know why you actually put 0.06139. Why do you get that figure from?
It's a little bit... I wouldn't say OCD.
Lucky number. Lucky number.
Yeah, do you know what? I just don't like to put a whole number in. I like to put a little bit of a thing in, because I think that's the thing that's going to make me rich.
Yeah, that's going to make you rich. That odd number in your head. Why is that going to make you rich?
Don't question my way of trading. It's a technique I've picked up over
after months of learning how to do it. I've gone the other way and learned how not to do it. And this is the way I've managed to, you know, concentrate it down, hone it in to the way that you should not trade. And I've perfected that technique. Nobody else will touch it. Yeah, you should write a book, Steve. How not to trade.
Love that. That's good.
Anything else we're talking about? Anything else? Anything else? We got, of course, Asia Met doing well. You guys both hold that, didn't you?
No.
Yes. Oh, sore point for Steve there.
Well, not really, because it's only points 1 pence up from what I sold at, so I'm not too worried at the moment. I am keeping an eye on it. I will buy back in at some point, but it doesn't seem to be coming back down at the moment.
Yeah, well, there's hope still out there, isn't it?
For the P.
Yes, the dying people are desperate for a P right now. Desperate for the P. And that's, of course, pre-economic assessment, which will...
Steve, I don't want to grumble or query your maths there, but you're probably looking at a sell price, you see, at 3.6. The is 3.9.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to buy back in is a little bit higher than where you paid.
I sold out at 3.5. I'm just saying it's now sell at 3 points. Yeah, but you know, I'll get it lower. But it's just patience. You know, this is what we do.
This is what we do. Don't bracket me with that. So listen, yeah, to buy, the offer, they will offer you shares now, Steve, at 3.9.
Mm.
Yeah, and you can sell shares at 3.6. What did you sell at?
3.5.
Oh, yeah. So, but Steve, no, I think you, honestly, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, like, hope, aim is a lot about hope, you know? And once this PE is out, unless it, you know, is wildly exceeds expectations, then I think, you know, it'll come back a bit because it's risen quickly. And this is not, you know, downgrading the company in any way whatsoever. I'm just saying that, you know, the hope and almost like, you know, blue sky expectation is built into this stock at the moment, you know, and even though I believe over the midterm it will achieve blue sky potential, you know, it's got to take a breather, you know, it's let's look at the chart. Let's take a look at the chart, guys. Let's go to the charts. Yeah, we are. Look at that. It's over 80 on the RSI. You know, over 70 is considered overbought, you know, so it's considerably overbought, it's overheated, so that's always a good thing to look out for. In fact, let's look at Metal Tiger as well, while we're talking about overbought, you know, situations, yet again, above, that's even higher, that is at 87, that's hugely, you know, overbought. So,
yes.
You know, stand back, wait for that to come into, look at the RSI, wait for it to come back, you know, below 70. Maybe it settled down a little bit, calm it down, and then at a sensible level, maybe think about.
But then, what if once the PEA comes out, if there are a raft of new buyers, new people coming into it, it could possibly continue up, couldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why. In my head, then I saw a raft. On water, loads of people on there shouting bye bye bye, just panting like crazy. Bye bye bye. Here comes the raft of new buyers.
Why is there a raft?
You imagine that raft, right, of new buyers, right, going towards a waterfall. That's what's happening there. So they make buy and other people, where there's a buyer, there's a seller, you know, and so you make it small buyers on a raft, and that's why the small buyers can't afford a boat on a raft. Bye bye bye. And then they go over the cliff, down and to their death. But no, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We just have to watch new. All he would say is stock market, you know, buy lower, sell high. It's the same old cliche. We can't seem to get that right, can we? So right now, new world oil and gas seems like the right price, Steve, to actually show. Put your cards on the table, yeah? Put them on the table, yeah? And show them the size. Say, check out the conscious.
Okay, right. You go and lie down.
In days to come, they'll probably have, you know, brokers on video cam and all that stuff. And Steve can be there. Check out my conscientious. Conscientious.
Steve will be holding, like, seminars about how to trade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll be. That's where I'm going to make my money in the future.
Yeah, only trade 4 decimal places.
Yeah. Right,
never
be what
put
the kids will be doing in the future trading world.
Yeah, never put a round figure in.
Yeah.
All these really odd tips.
Yeah.
The most surreal seminar you ever hear.
Yeah. Never click the buy button with your right hand.
Yeah, really. What? That's what made me where I am today. Yeah. I only put 4 decimal points in it on figure. No matter what price you pay, don't put an even figure in there.
Maximise your profits. What? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, right. Then, ladies and gentlemen. See you on the weekend. Yes, are we playing golf?
Oh yes, we are. Yeah, big golf game.
It's going to be a nice, I haven't swung a club since this time last year. Do you remember we played that course? I'm getting my clubs out. I can't even find my shoes or anything. And my bag is still the same, a moth-ridden sort of thing. Steve's got all the kit, hasn't he? Yeah. All the gear, no idea.
Yeah. All the kit still shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to apologise for that.
My shoes are still as white as they were when I bought them.
Yeah, this is a family podcast, and for all the kiddies listening, I apologise for the word.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Marvellous! Obviously, right. There's no kiddies listening. I mean, there are people probably... There's no one below the mental age of Steve.
There's nobody listening.
I know, but there's no one below the mental age of Steve listening to this, so I think we're pretty safe. And Steve knows all... Steve knows all the swear words, doesn't you, Steve?
Yeah.
Go on.
Go on, off you go. Right, see you soon. Have a nice weekend. You're probably with me, so you have a cracking weekend. And... Yeah, and speak next week. Obviously not in real life, I mean the podcast, of course. Oh, yeah.
I see.
Right.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.